All right, our next guest is Matt Hogan, Global Head of Research at Bitwise, who's a leading provider of rules-based exposure to the crypto asset space. They actually pioneered the first cryptocurrency index fund, and they currently have a Bitcoin ETF filed with the SEC. Matt is unique because he's actually a longtime ETF industry veteran. So he was previously CEO of ETF.com, also Inside ETFs. He actually still serves as a chairman of Inside ETFs. And he co-authored what I would say is the ETF Bible, the CFA's Institute's Comprehensive Guide to ETFs. But now, of course, Matt is heavily involved in the world of crypto assets, and he's on the line with us from San Francisco. Matt, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us this week.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Matt, let's start with what I know everyone wants to hear, which is, what can you tell us about Bitwise's Bitcoin ETF filing? And look, I'll give you a little bit of a wiggle room here. I know there are certain things you can't comment on, given this is currently with the SEC, but what can you tell us?
Sure, yeah. It's going along well is the answer. So we're in the regular review process. There are two more deadlines in front of us. One is in August. One is in October. And so our expectation is that we won't hear anything until around October 11th. But at that point, we'll see what they say, yes or no.
I know back in May, Bitwise submitted a Bitcoin research paper to the SEC, which, by the way, this thing blew my mind, the amount of work and effort your team put into this. But the conclusion of the report was that Bitcoin's spot trading market should be among the most orderly and efficient in the world. And again, I'll give you a free pass here if you can't comment, but why don't you think the SEC is viewing it that way at this point in time?
Yeah, you know, I actually think the SEC is doing a great job, and I'm not just saying that to suck up to them. Look, the Bitcoin market has come a long way in the last couple of years. Back when the Winklevoss ETF application was filed, I don't think the market was ready for an ETF. It was relatively inefficient. Custody wasn't solved. Big market makers like Jane Street hadn't come in. Arbitrage wasn't that good. It's really only been in the last couple of years, or really in the last year, that the Bitcoin market has matured. So I think it's just a matter of timing. And now, you know, the SEC is going carefully through our research. They've asked some very good questions. I think it's a matter of when and not if. And I think we're getting closer every day. But I actually think they're doing a good job. And I think it just was that the market wasn't ready 18 months ago. And now I hope that it is.
As you mentioned, the SEC does have to make a final decision on this ETF by October. Let's just say they deny it. What happens from there? Do you simply refile the ETF and then the clock starts all over again?
Yeah, I think that's the likely scenario if that happens. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But if it does, you know, we'll take a look at their concerns and we'll try to address them. I think they always come back with good questions. They've done that throughout the process that we've been involved in. And if they find a reason to reject it, we'll just reflect, do more research, submit another 500 or 600 pages of documents, and, you know, hopefully eventually wear them down.
All right. So, look, I haven't shied away from the fact that I do believe a Bitcoin ETF should have been approved by now. I just think there are so many other ETFs out there that are far more dangerous to investors than a Bitcoin ETF. And I know just being better than the worst options, that's not enough in some people's eyes. And I get that. But I'm just of the belief that as long as risks are properly disclosed and the products do what they say, we have to put some responsibility on investors to do their homework. But all that aside, I want to ask you about a few situations in particular where I really find it hard to wrap my head around the fact that a Bitcoin ETF doesn't exist. And hopefully we can do this without getting too far into the regulatory weeds. I'll let you shoulder that burden. First, we have to talk about this Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, ticker GBTC, right? So this thing trades over the counter, currently at a 35% premium to net asset value. And actually, an Ethereum product was recently made available to retail investors as well. How in the world is this able to exist but not a Bitcoin ETF?
those occupy an ugly regulatory loophole. I don't think anyone except for Grayscale is happy that those exist. You're exactly right. Those are dangerous for investors. People don't realize that they're trading at large premiums. The Ethereum product you mentioned traded at a 10x premium, which is just ridiculous. And, of course, that premium collapsed, and, of course, retail investors were hurt. The products are actually worse maybe than you're even envisioning, because the way that they're created is that rich investors who meet the accreditation principles can create new shares at net asset value. and then they just have to wait a year, and then they can sell them on the market to retail investors at the elevated price. Look, it was the only way that Grayscale could get a product to market, and there's certainly people who are happy that there's a brokerage-accessible product, but I think they're dangerous to investors. I think they're toxic products, and I wish they didn't exist.
Well, even worse, some people think these are ETFs, which give ETFs a bad name. But at the end of the day, so basically some regulatory loopholes are allowing these to exist.
Yeah, that's right. If you create an accredited product and then you wait and hold it for a year, you're allowed to list it on the OTCQX, which you and I used to call the pink sheets before they went through a rebranding. And that's the regulatory loophole that lets them exist. There's no way for the SEC to stop them from existing. I don't know how they feel about them, but that is the regulatory loophole through which they get onto an exchange-traded market. But the way to think of them as closed-end funds with large premiums, and eventually the scary thing is the potential for large discounts. If an ETF come to market, I expect that the premium on GBTC will collapse because people will have an alternative, and you may even see that product trade to a discount. So
I completely agree.
People say Bitcoin is risky, but holding a closed-end fund trading at a premium of Bitcoin is too risky for anyone.
All right, another one I have a hard time reconciling. How is it that Bitcoin futures contracts exist, but not a Bitcoin ETF? And I'm sure you saw the CFTC actually recently approved physically settled Bitcoin futures from LedgerX, and these will be available to retail investors. So if the CFTC thinks it's okay for Bitcoin futures to trade, why can't those futures be wrapped in an ETF? What difference does it make?
Right. Well, I think you have to think they're just different regulators. I mean, the CFTC typically serves a different audience and has different standards. The right way to think about the SEC, I think of them a little bit like the FDA. And you may not know this, but I was a biotech analyst in a previous life. And the thing about the FDA is people look at medicines and new medicines, and they all focus on the efficacy. Like, does it help save patients? And the FDA actually doesn't care that much about efficacy. They care about safety. They're a do-no-harm regulator. And the SEC fits that mold. They want to be progressive and forward-thinking, but they are a do-no-harm regulator, and they don't want to put their stamp on a product until they feel totally confident that it will do what it claims to do. And the CFTC is just a little bit more aggressive on the regulatory front. So just different regulatory agencies. But look, one thing crypto people forget is that each time a new asset class has been opened in ETFs, it's taken many years. It took 7 or 8 years for levered ETFs to come to market. It took multiple years for bond ETFs to come to market. The World Gold Council spent $12 million on legal fees, a figure that makes me shudder, to get a gold ETF onto the market. So it's not atypical for it to take a long time. We move in crypto time. We expect things done overnight, 24/7. But the SEC moves at a different cadence. I do think they're getting closer, though. I think that's the most important thing.
All right, and I'm going to give you one more here. I think you answered this with your comments on the SECs, but I am going to try and really test your regulatory knowledge here. why not a Bitcoin ETN, right? So this is simply a bank guarantee to provide the return stream of Bitcoin. So if a bank is willing to underwrite that, why can't a Bitcoin ETN exist?
Right. Well, the first thing is, do you have a bank that's willing to underwrite it? Of course, Bitcoin ETNs exist on Nasdaq Nordic, the Swedish market, so they are out there. The honest answer is that the SEC is taking a sort of holistic approach to this everywhere they can, which is saying we're not allowing a Bitcoin ETP on the market until we're totally comfortable with it. So an ETN, when I first got involved, we went down that pathway because we thought for the reasons you suggest, it would be easier. You wouldn't have to deal with custody, et cetera, et cetera. But the SEC is really concerned about the fundamental market. So they're going to block, I believe, any attempt to list a Bitcoin ETP in any flavor, even these attempts to list ETPs that are, say, 10% Bitcoin and 90% Treasury. I think those are doomed for failure as well until the SEC is comfortable with the idea of a Bitcoin ETP. You're not going to wiggle your way into this. You're going to have to go straight through, and it's only when they get fully comfortable that they'll open the floodgates. People have tried to be cute. I don't think the SEC is looking for cute. I think they're looking for sort of their fundamental issues about Bitcoin resolved, and I think hopefully that's what we'll give them.
By the way, we had Phil Bock, who is CEO of Exponential ETFs, on the show last year, and I asked him a similar question on a Bitcoin ETN. He had a fantastic response that I think you'll get a kick out of. He said asking the SEC to write a Bitcoin futures contract into the ETN rule set would be like asking the NFL permission to add spikes to shoulder pads, which I just thought was great. Matt, before we move on, because we're going to bring in Tyrone Ross and have a fun, spirited debate on the merits of a Bitcoin ETF, just in terms of whether one should even exist in principle, not even from a regulatory perspective, I do want to ask you about the price of Bitcoin, because it's up, what, over 200% this year. Is there any way to discern some of the drivers here? Any idea what's sparking the move?
Yeah, well, you know, one, the bear market was exhausted and oversold. And you knew that back in April when some bad news broke, like Binance was hacked. The Tether situation was unveiled, and Bitcoin didn't go down anymore. So you knew that the bear market was exhausted. Then two things happened. One, you got the first wave of institutional investment into the space, and you knew that was happening because the amount of futures volume versus spot volume spiked. So you started to see real institutional investors take positions in Bitcoin futures, and that brought new money into the space. And then it was really accelerated by the Facebook news, not for the reason people think. People think the Facebook news was good because it got sort of crypto front and center, and it was a gateway drug to Bitcoin and all those things. I don't think that's right. I think the reason the Facebook news was good was that you saw how the government pounced on it, right? The same day that Facebook came out, the government announced hearings on it. They were going to shut it down. I think that reified in people's minds the fact that you can't do that with Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a non-sovereign entity. It can't be shut down. You can't call it for hearings. It showed people the power of a decentralized, non-sovereign store of value. And I think all of those are doing well right now. Gold is doing well. Oil is doing well. And Bitcoin is doing well. So call it a recovery rally with a few catalysts. I think it brought us back to a sort of normalized price. And we're relatively bullish for the rest of the year. So I think that's what's going on.
On your note regarding Facebook's Libra, we talked about this a little bit earlier with ETF.com's Dave Nodig. But I think Libra is obviously leading to some discussions in Washington, D.C., just around what the future of money looks like. And that's a discussion that maybe has been a bit lacking. So I think Facebook, because of who they are, just bringing out the role of cryptos, even though that's different, right? It's centralized, and there's certainly a number of differences between what Libra would be and Bitcoin. Just having this conversation and getting regulators to start looking into this world, I think, is a huge positive. Matt, if you don't mind, hang on the line with us. I'm going to bring in Tyrone Ross, and we'll get rolling on this Bitcoin ETF debate. I've got to tell you, hope you came prepared, because Tyrone always brings it strong. So we're going to have our work cut out for us here, but this should be a lot of fun.
I'm ready.